and a heart to receive. And we just give you the glory for it. Thank you, Father, for your anointing and call upon me to minister your word. And we will bless you, Father, and honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Well, go ahead and turn once again. We weren't on last Wednesday night. Some of you looked for us and we weren't there, but we had some a little situation that's all taken care of now. So we back this week, and so I want to welcome the live stream audience. Glad you watching tonight. Amen. Matter of fact, why don't you do this? I can't see you, but you can see me, so I'm going to wave at you, and hopefully you'll wave back at me. So, praise the name of the Lord. Turn to 1 Peter, the first chapter. 1 Peter, the first chapter. And, you know, I've been sensing, this is not recent, I mean, but God's been dealing with me about it here lately, but one of the things that is important to me as a minister, and hopefully to every minister of God, is to make sure that the people that you minister to have an opportunity to become stable in the things of God, stable in their faith, solidified in their faith, not back and forth, up and down, in and out, sometime in, sometime out, sometime up, sometime down. And I'm not necessarily talking about everyday struggles, but things that we face on a daily basis. Challenges is a better, I think, way of saying it. We all have those, you know, we all have challenges. But we got to make sure that we don't waver in our faith. We don't waver in what we believe. Because when Jesus comes back, he's coming back for those that believe in him, believe on him. Those that are born again believers, amen? Not just head believers, but heart believers, amen? Those that believe on him. And so, we as ministers need to continually to preach the word of God and help keep the people of God stable in the things of God. Now, I want to read to you from 1 Peter, the first chapter, and I'll just begin reading it, verse 23. Listen at what it said. And I read this couple weeks ago. It says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed. You got to understand something. We have been born again of incorruptible seed. Amen. I like something that Jesus said, and I'm going to finish reading this, but I like something that Jesus said, that no man, now hear how I'm saying this, no man would be able to pluck us out of his hand. And then he went on to say that I'm in my Father's hand, and I know nobody's going to be able to pluck you out of my Father's hand. Amen. Because we are born again of the incorruptible seed of God. Now, we can walk away from God, but he'll never walk away from us. Did you hear what I just said? He will never walk away from us. I am so glad of that. So my mind is fixed and made up. I'm walking with Jesus. Is there another amen out there somewhere? Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. So verse 23 again, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. You see that? The word of God never changes. It abides forever. And it goes on to say, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls away. Finish that. Say it again. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. We must preach the word of God, the uncompromised word of God. Now, some stuff folks preach is not going to endure forever because it's not the word of God. But if it's the word of God, it will stand the test of time. It will stand any challenge. Matter of fact, the word of God's been challenged down through the generation. Guess what? It's still standing. Glory to God. Glory to God. So we need to know and understand that we've been born again of that incorruptible word. Hallelujah. That incorruptible seed. And because of that, knowing that, we must make sure that we don't allow ourselves to get out of focus. Amen. Got to make sure you don't lose focus. Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs 4. Don't allow yourself to get out of focus. Always keep the word of God before your eyes. Keep the word of God before your eyes. All right, you have Proverbs chapter 4. All right. Drop down to verse 25. It says, let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be what? Huh? And let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. Let your ways be established. Get focused, stay focused, and don't allow yourself to be distracted by anything. Anything. Or anyone. I'm going to read it to you from the Amplified Bible, the Amplified Classic. It says, let your eyes look right on with fixed purpose, and let your gaze be straight before you. Consider well the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established and ordered aright. Turn not aside to the right hand or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Now, let me say something to you. This is so very important. You know, we are people of faith. Can I get an amen on that? We are people that walk by faith and not by sight, right? And when I say walk by faith, I'm talking about walking by faith in the Word of God, in that incorruptible seed. We are walking according to that. Amen? We believe what He said. And we conduct our lives and accordingly, or we should. But what trips us up so many times and what hinders our faith is those little distractions, those little evil distractions. I'll tell you what. Let's back up. Listen. Let me back. I'm still at Proverbs chapter 4, but I want to back up a little bit. Let me see where I want to go. Man, I'd love to read to you this whole chapter, but I don't think I will. Oh, this is. I think I will. Is that all right? It says, "Hear, my children." This is Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1. Listen to me. "Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart do what? Do what? Let your heart retain my words. Keep what? My commandments and do what? Huh? Keep my commandments and live." Glory to God. All righty. Look at verse 5. Get wisdom. Get understanding. We get that from the Word of God, don't we? Do not forget, nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Oh, my Lord, do we need more wisdom today? I'm talking about in the body of Christ. We need more of the wisdom of God. Excuse me. Even in the book of Ephesians and in the book of Colossians, the Apostle Paul prayed that the people of God might walk in the wisdom of God. And the only way you're going to get the wisdom of God is through His Word and through spending time with Him. You hear me? Oh, I'm going to tell you something. There is a big difference. You ever seen those folks that you just knew there's something about them, you couldn't quite put your finger on it, but you knew there was something about them. You knew they had been with God. You knew they had been with God. Hallelujah. All right, let's move on. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. In all your getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor. When you embrace her, she will place on your head an ornament of grace. See what I'm talking about? A crown of glory she will deliver to you. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. Let me read verse 10 again. Hear, my son, and this is for the daughters too. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of what? There's a lot of folks gone right now, no longer with us because of a lack of wisdom. Thank you for that one amen. Lack of wisdom. Lack of wisdom. Verse 11 again. I've taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the right path. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. Glory to God. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she what? Is your life. Do not enter. No. See, this is reading. I'm reading this entire chapter. Like I told you earlier, we're faith people and we walk by faith. Amen. And we understand that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Can I get another amen? Amen. But when you walk by faith, you also must walk in obedience for faith to work properly. Look at verse 14. Do not, you see that? I said, you see that? Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. See, there's some folks in the church world right now, they want to play both sides of the street. Now, see, y'all, come here, sister. I know. There ain't but one sister on that front row. Come here. Pat me on the back. Thank you. God bless you. It's the truth, folks. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn what? Turn away from it and what? Pass on. Is that in your Bible? For they do not sleep unless they have done evil. And their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they that eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. Let me reread verse 17. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But listen at this. But the path of the just. You want to make a confession of faith and say, that's me?
That's me.
Come on, say it again.
That's me.
Hallelujah. Amen. You can make a quick adjustment right now while you're in church. If that wasn't you in the beginning, it can be you. Thank you, Jesus. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto a perfect day. Glory, hallelujah. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. See, folks, listen. as believers. And I know some folks say, and this is true, that we are called to catch the fish and God to do the scaling. Okay, I understand that. But we're called to preach the word of God and tell the truth. People must know the truth. Right is right, wrong is wrong. Good is good, bad is bad. So you may say, amen, Pastor James. You go, you tell them, tell them, tell them, tell them. Well, thank you. But that's your responsibility too. Amen. Even beginning with your children. The Bible tells us to train up our children in the way that they should go. When they're old, they will not depart from it. But they must be trained. People have to be taught. Yeah, but they don't like it when I tell them certain things are wrong. You do it in love, and you've done your part. We're not here to condemn anybody. We are here to tell them the truth. God is looking for a righteous people. And when I say righteous, I know that we have right standing with God through the new birth, but I'm talking about God's looking for people that's living a righteous life. Because you have to understand something. God wants to use each and every one of us, so we must make sure that we keep ourselves in a position where we are usable. God, listen to me. God is constantly looking for his children that he can use and that he can impart something into them, because he wants to use them to be a blessing to someone else. And I'm not just talking about money or material goods. I mean, that's good too. Amen. We're supposed to be a blessing. We're supposed to help people. But God has spiritual gifts that he wants to impart to us that we may use them to be a blessing to someone else. Hallelujah. You know, I was talking about Miss Kat here earlier. You know, she's always hugging on people, always loving on people. Can I tell y'all something funny? Y'all don't let me lose my place. This still goes right along with the message. We can be in sessions with folks that need to talk to us about things. And sometime I have sessions with people by myself. But I believe most of the time it's you and me, especially when it's a couple or if it's a female. And we've watched this over the years, sis. Now, we'll be sitting in my office or wherever we sit. Now, just for a moment, I'm going to let you be pastor. Don't get too used to it, because I'm going to take it back. So right now you pastor and you first lady for a moment. Now, I need some advice. I got some issues I need to talk over with the pastor. Okay? I need to talk to the pastor about some things. So now I got my meeting with the pastor. There he is, the pastor. And of course, you, his wife, sitting there. Now, I'm talking to you now about my issues and what I'm dealing with. But the only thing about it is, I'm not looking at the pastor, I'm talking to First Lady. And pastor might ask me a question. I said, oh yeah. I'm back on First Lady. And I have noticed that through 36 years of ministry, that when we together, I mean, it don't bother me at all. But I don't know if it bothers her or not, but it don't bother me. But male or female, and I know why, because it's the type of personality that she have. She loves people and she care about people, and people know she care about them. And I hope they know I care about them, but they more convinced that she care about them than they are that I care about them. So when we're talking, when we're having discussion, they looking at her and they talking to her, and I'm sitting there listening, and I jump in every now and then when I feel I need to, but in the meantime, I'm listening. Am I right? And of course, I know she looked better than me, but I don't think that's the reason they looking at her. I think it's because our personalities are totally different. I love people. Y'all know that, don't you? Y'all know I love people, but my love is a little different than hers. My daughter's she's outgoing. She's outgoing. I was an introverted person. I was an introvert. Back in the day, you could ask me, do you love me? Do you? Oh yes, I love you. You don't have to ask her. She'd tell you before you ever asked. Has she always been that way, Wilhelmina? She has. But see, God uses that. God uses that. And she has been a blessing to many, many people, including yours truly. Amen. Amen. So I have no problem with that, because that helps me out. I'm not. Oh, by the way, I'm pastor again. Glory be to God. You hear me? Amen. So let's move on. I honestly didn't intend to read this entire chapter, but I just felt in my heart we need to. But my point is, we have got to keep ourselves in a position where God can use us, because he wants to use us. But if we're dibbling and dabbling over here and over there and halfway in and halfway out, God can't use us like he wants to. He wants to, but he can't use us. Amen. So let me read on. All right. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So verse 19 says, the way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. Now look at verse 20. My son, give attention to what? My words. Incline your ears to what? My sayings. Now some of his words and some of his saying we just read. For example, don't eat the bread of wickedness. We just read that. Don't drink the wine of violence. We're to give attention to his words and obey his words. Verse 21, do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your what? Heart. For what? They are life to those that find them. And what? Health to all their flesh. Hallelujah. said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And then listen to what he's saying here. Keep your heart with all diligence. In other words, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Pour the word of God into your heart and then guard that word. Don't let it slip. Verse 23 again, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. But here we go again. Put away from you a what? Deceitful mouth. And put what? Perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder, ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. And we see it all through the New Testament. The Word of God telling us plainly what to do and what not to do, what to say and what not to say. So that we may remain focused on the truth, standing on the truth, and nothing but the truth. I gotta quit, but thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want to say this, and I'm getting ready to close. And we'll deal with this as long as we need to. Understand something. There is the biblical principle of seed time and harvest. You've heard me talk about it, right? That principle works both positively and negatively. Remember something. Where God plants, he reaps a harvest. Where the devil plants, or the flesh, he reaps a harvest. And I'm determined he's not reaping a harvest from my life. Is anybody with me? Hallelujah. In these last and evil days when good is being called evil and evil good and just a mess, let's stand tall, shine bright, tell the truth and nothing but the truth. And God says, I am with you and you will not be deceived because you have hid the word of God. My word, saith the Lord. You've hidden my word in your heart. And anytime anyone comes to you with anything that's not my word, even if they say I've come in the name of Jesus, you have so much hidden on the inside of your heart that your spirit will speak up and say, nope, this is not right. Y'all listen to this. This is not right. Something wrong. You may not know what's wrong, but you'll know something not right. As I've heard a fellow say when I was in the service, he always say this, you know, one of my roommates, he would say, you know, I don't know what's going on, but something's not clean in the water. So you'll know. You may not know what it is, but you'll recognize that something's not clean in the water. And what I'm saying as I close this out, let's remain spiritually sharp. You hear me? Spiritually sharp. Keeping our eyes in the Word of God and watching our conduct. Don't let our conduct nullify what we have heard. Amen. I can tell you, brother, you ought to be doing this, and you ought to be doing the other, and this is right, and that's not right. And you say, okay, Pastor, I got you on that, and I'm going to make a change. But next day, you see me doing the same thing. Guess how is that going to affect you? First thing you're going to say, I'm not listening to him anymore. I'm going to do what I want to. If the preacher can do it and get to heaven, I know I'm okay. If the deacon can do it and get to heaven, I know I'm okay. And that's the way people think, because I've heard them say it. Any of y'all ever heard them say it? And come on, raise your hand if you've heard somebody say that. Yeah, a few of them. Oh, amen. You know you shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be participating. You shouldn't be acting like that. You better go talk to the deacon. You better go talk to preach, because if they can do it and get to heaven, I know I'm. It's a shoe-in for me. But one thing about it, we don't know how spiritual Deke is, or how spiritual Reverend Preach is, because God looks on where?
Heart.
Man looks at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. And folks, what am I saying? We got to be serious about it, because Jesus is coming back. Not only that, there are some folks out there that we got to help. And God wants to impart some things into us to get the job done. Hallelujah. Now I want to tell you, God's been dealing with me about this, dealing with me about that. And all I'm doing, folks, is being obedient. Hallelujah. Father, we bless you tonight. Thank you for loving us so much.